May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to God. Amen. Please be seated. When the world is screwed up, don't give up. Work to unscrew it. This quote was shared at a clergy conference I attended this past week. It was attributed to Joseph McNeil, one of the four brave students who launched the lunch counter sit-ins in Greensboro, North Carolina, 66 years ago this past week. And to me, it sounds like a colorful way of saying what Jesus said in the lesson we just read. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We sometimes hear earth and world and think the same thing, but Jesus used two different words with two different meanings. Earth in Greek is spelled the equivalent of GE, like geology or geography. It refers to both the land on which we live and the region in which we reside. Salt preserves, it prevents decay, it keeps meat from rotting. Jesus said to his disciples and to us, you are salt for land that is being ruined. You are salt for a rotten region. You may think you can't do much about the decay that is all around you, but you are the salt of the earth. Jesus used a different word in the next phrase. You are the light of the world. Light in Greek is phos, like photo or photon. World in this phrase is cosmo, like cosmos. Cosmo came from a root that means an orderly arrangement of things. It came to mean the universe and all that happens in it, as well as the system underlying all things, the prevailing order. You are the phos of the cosmos. When the universe has lost its light, when the system has lost its way, remember you are light. You can help people find their path. You can set systems right. You are the light of the world. Now, after Jesus, the writer of John's gospel named Jesus as the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And that, of course, is true. But Jesus named that light in us. You are the light of the world. Jesus did not say, try to be like the salt of the earth. He did not say, I believe you can probably someday shine like light for the world. And he did not refer to individuals on their own. It was plural and declarative. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Together, you are equipped to preserve and enhance life for all. Collectively, you are light for a world that has lost its way. The chemical compound in salt is very stable. Sodium chloride does not degrade easily, and we should take some strength from that. Salt in a salt shaker will stay salty for years. But in ancient times, salt was often of poor quality, especially the salt available to the masses of people who followed Jesus. Salt was often harvested from the Dead Sea or from salt marshes, so it was mixed with other minerals and had lots of impurities in it. If the mixture got wet or wasn't stored well, the sodium chloride would dissolve out, leaving behind a tasteless and useless powder. And likewise, even before people understood that light is both a particle and a wave, people knew that light is incredibly powerful. A single candle can illumine a whole dark room, but if you cover the light, the room will grow dark again. So Jesus acknowledged it was possible for salt to get contaminated and diluted, and it was possible for light to get covered up. And given the references to the law and the prophets in his next words, maybe that's what he was referring to. The law was God's vision of a world in which people care for each other and share what they have. Maybe some were diluting the law's original foundation of justice and mercy by focusing only on petty rules about purity and who could eat with whom, pointing fingers instead of reflecting on behavior. Maybe some were ignoring and covering up the law that the psalmist had said was a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Maybe Jesus felt that was why the region around him was rotting and losing its way. And so Jesus reminded them, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. When the world is screwed up, don't give up. Work to unscrew it because you can. There are countless ways to season the community and let your light shine. And I heard some great examples this week. The conference I attended was a gathering of clergy who've all gone through the same leadership program in Indiana. I was part of the first group in 2008 and 2009. That program is still going, and every year they host a reunion and bring in a speaker and allow us all to keep learning together, which is wonderful. Our custom for the last few years on the second day is to invite members of the program who are doing some creative things to share about what they're doing. And so a friend in my program spoke about a housing project his church started in Speedway, Indiana, a place that is very close to my heart. The city of Indianapolis gave his congregation 5 lots on which there were 3 dilapidated houses. Members of the church renovated the houses. The church now rents them out at about half market rate on the condition that the tenants do something positive for the neighborhood. So one tenant started a neighborhood watch program. Another started a block party tradition to help neighbors know each other. Another mows the grass for some elderly neighbors. The goal is for a family to live there long enough to get on their feet and eventually be able to buy their own home. They've been able to help about 17 families this way so far. The church is about to build 2 more houses on the vacant lots. They're transforming their neighborhood 1 lot at a time, salt and light. Another pastor shared about her congregation on the west side of Indianapolis. The west side used to be a growing suburb, but more suburbs developed farther west, and white flight went there, leaving her neighborhood behind. Her congregation had once been a large, thriving church. Their buildings total more than 60,000 square feet. The main sanctuary seats about 800. And I'm not sure of all of the reasons, but the congregation now has about 40 in worship on a Sunday. They gather in the fellowship hall because the sanctuary is too big. But these 40 people are committed to being salt and light. Last summer, they were asked if their sanctuary could be used as a men's cold weather shelter this past winter. The social services agency moved the pews out of the way and set up 120 tents in the sanctuary. When the temperature falls below 25 degrees, men experiencing homelessness can have a safe place to stay day or night. Of course, it's been colder than average this winter. At one point, more than 120 men needed shelter. So the church said, please do not turn anyone away. They opened the rest of the building and added more tents and brought the number up to 167. The agency did not have the resources to feed more than 120, so church members brought food. And other churches got involved, and it all worked out. The agency is paying the church's utility bills. Several of the men staying in the shelter formed a Bible study and are getting involved with the church. Some are finding stable homes. The world is still rotten in many ways. The news is still appalling. Indiana is a political and governmental mess like many places. But these churches are being salt and light. And Jesus says we can do the same because we are salt and light. We can preserve life and give light to the world around us, regardless of what happens in Washington or under the Gold Dome or at City Council. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Season and shine, my friends. Amen.